So I want to share a message with you today. It's entitled, Where to Find Love. And if you have your Bible, you can follow along, it's going to be on the screen as well. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21 is what I would like to read to you. So starting at verse 14, it says this, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of this his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Isn't that a powerful portion of Scripture? And I know that you're going to be entering into, into Ephesians here in the next few weeks, so you'll probably come across this passage again. But let's just pause for a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that your word brings life. I thank you so much for your love that is revealed through Scripture, how much you loved us. And even as we again had communion, and as we gathered together, and we remembered through the emblems, you giving your life for us, shedding your innocent blood, we just want to thank you so much for that, that your love was so great that you laid down your life for each and every one of us. So God, I pray that as we look into your word a little bit deeper, that you would just come alive again in our hearts. I pray that if there are things in our lives that need to fall away, that they would fall away. And God, that you would come and fill us with your power and with your presence. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we live in a love-starved world. And people desperately are just calling out, "Will somebody love me?" I think that that's a norm that everybody would go through. And some of us, we might not maybe admit that there's this deep need to be loved, but there is. There's this deep need to be loved. And the misunderstanding sometimes that many of us have is we don't fully understand God's love is personal for us. God's love, it has our name written on it. And God's, it's so big, it's universal, personal. And I realize that, you know, a lot of people, they've heard messages on God's love, but I found that not everybody maybe understands. What does that really mean? That they've never maybe fully experienced God's love. And I realize that we're all in different stages of our spiritual journey. There might be some of you who have accepted Jesus Christ into your life as personal Lord and Savior. But maybe you haven't quite crossed the line yet. You're trying to find out, you know, that Christianity, if it's even real, and you're looking for answers. And a summary statement really of the Christian faith is that God loves you. I think that's so important for you to know. God loves you. He loves you right now just as much as he loves me or anyone else in this church or anyone watching online, anyone really in this world. And others might maybe feel more like they struggle in their Christian faith, and they think, well, my problem is I don't think I love God enough. But I want to tell you that that's not your problem if you think like that. Your problem is you don't understand how deeply God loves you. He loves you so deeply. Other people might say, well, I'm not really a seeker, I'm not really struggling, but I am sold out to Jesus Christ. I am totally committed to him. And I am, and I trust that you are this morning too, that you are totally sold out to Jesus Christ. What happens sometimes in my life is I forget. I forget just how personal God's love is for me. And that God's love, it has my name on it. And I need to be continually reminded of that all the time. You know, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, my prayer is that when you will leave here today, or when you will go into your community, that you will not be the same person. And I say that because we're living in a love-starved world. And you can see that every single day. You can see that in your news feed all the time. All the things that are happening in the news nowadays. People are just starving for love. And people who are growing up in this world, a lot of them, they're not getting better and sweeter. They're getting more bitter and more violent. Have you noticed all the violence that you're seeing on TV these days? Even in politics, it's just unbelievable, some of the things that are taking place. So what's the answer? Is the answer, you know, best-selling book? Maybe another seminar? Is it maybe in the House of Commons? You know, going are they going to legislate an answer for this? Is it in the marketplace to come up with a business plan and then try to sell it to us? You know, the Bible, it boldly proclaims that there's only one love in the universe that has what it takes to meet this love-starved world. And it's God's love. God's love is really the answer. You can try to fill it with whatever you want, but there's only one answer. And the Bible boldly proclaims that. It says it's God's love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, it says, "The Lord said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with a loving kindness." I've drawn you. Think about that for a moment. Some of you might wonder why you attended church today or why you tuned in online. You know what? I really believe it's because God's love is drawing you to Him. God loves you very deeply. He wants you to know it, and He's drawing you to Himself. There's a lot of deep needs that we have, but to be loved hits at every single basic need. Your greatest need, it's not money. We all like to have money, but it's not money. Your greatest need is not success. It's not fame. It's not another job. Your greatest need is to be loved. It's not sentimental love, not some sexual love, but God's love. And because we so desperately want to be loved, sometimes we're willing to do whatever it takes to find that type of love. I read something a while back on love masks, and it was really interesting as I kind of looked at that. And love masks, they're things that we put on to disguise our real need to love. And also, when we wear these, we do end up getting a little bit of love. So, for example, there might be things like performance. You know, when we achieve and when we perform, there are some people in our lives that are going to say, "Man, look what they did. Isn't that incredible what they did?" And what it does, it kind of builds us up a bit, and we go, "Oh, yeah, that's good." And we end up getting, you know, a little bit of love. It could be people that oftentimes we get love and affirmation from the value of people. Whether it be our kids, whether it would be our grandchildren, and they do really good at school, and we put a bumper sticker on our car, you know, saying that my kids are a star in school. We want everybody to know, you know, how good they are at what they do, whether it's through sports, and we live vicariously, you know, through them. You know, if my kids are good at sports, then people are going to think better than me. That's kind of, you know, how some people are. Or my spouse, you know, she's very attractive. Look at me. I'm with her, you know. And you know, with people, we get affirmation. Another love mask could be pity. A lot of us, we put ourselves down. And when we put ourselves down, we think, well, maybe, you know, people are going to come up and they're going to pat us on the back and they're going to feel sorry for us. And we get a little bit of love and affirmation because we're getting some attention. It could be things like position. That some of us feel, you know, if I could just get that next manager position. If I could just get that next step up the ladder, then I'm going to be valued and loved. It's a love mask. Could be physical affection. A lot of times we equate contact with love. You know, if I could just be in an intimate relationship with someone, that would be another form of love, though it's a mask. Might be pleasure. If I could just get, you know, maybe that next vacation, if I could get that next high, that next experience, if I could get that car, those types of things. It could be things like problems that might be more of a juvenile, although it can be seen in some adults, but a lot of kids, they have a love mask that if I just get in trouble, if I just create problems, then people are going to give me the attention that I want. But you know what? All of these masks that we see, they are all temporary. They're temporary. They're different forms of love and pleasure and value and acceptance and appreciation. The problem is that when we wear it, it creates this insatiable thirst for more love. And when you put on these masks, and let's be honest, people do respond. And you do feel loved when your kid, you know, hits a home run, for sure. You feel very proud of that, and you get it, and it creates thirst for more. But the problem is, it will always dry up. Love masks will dry up because there is a limit to human love. And that's where God's love is just so different than all of those things. God says that there is no limit to his love. There's no limit. Ephesians 3, verse 17 to 19, we read it earlier, but in the Living Bible translation, it says, I pray you may be able to feel and understand how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves. Many of us have heard that God's love, it's long enough to last forever. It's wide enough that it's going to include everybody. It's very diverse. We've heard that God's love is deep enough that it could reach right into our pain and despair, and it's high enough that we can't take anything over it. But have we experienced God's love? Have you experienced God's love in your own life? Have you experienced that God really, really loves you on your good days? And he really, really loves you even on your bad days, because that's all that God can do. The Bible says in John 14, or 4, verse 6, it says, God is love, period. God is love. Doesn't say possessions are love. It doesn't say physical affection are love. Doesn't say pleasure is love. It says God is love. One of the Hebrew names for God in the Old Testament is Jehovah Roi, which means, I am the God who shepherds you. And God referred to himself as a shepherd, and because when we let him, he cares for us, and we will have no wants. So let me just read Psalm 23. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Not just some things. It says, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. And even when I walk through the valley, dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Forever means forever. You know, Jesus in the New Testament, the God-man, God in the flesh, also called himself the Good Shepherd. And John 10:11, it says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You know, a life that is so willing to die, a life, a love that leaves us with no wants, that's the type of love that God has for us, and he wants us to experience it. That he was willing to die for us, and even that we can live life with no wants. That's what the communion message is all about. That's the gospel message. You know, the only thing that sometimes concerns me about these verses is that you and I are referred to as sheep. Sheep are not always the smartest animal. And I was talking with Arden and with Robin a little earlier here in the back, and so is there anyone here who is a sheep farmer? And Rob said, well, yeah, I have looked after sheep a little bit. So I hope what I'm going to say is going to be a little bit in line. But I don't think you really see sheep in a circus too often. They're not sometimes smart enough to be in a circus. I don't know if you've ever seen sheep run. They don't always bend their knees, and yet they have knees when they're running. I don't know if they just haven't figured it out yet. But hundreds of times in the Bible, we're called sheep. And it was like God was saying, you want to know how the body of Christ works? Well, study sheep. And a sheep farmer will tell you this, that sheep require endless attention because they so easily will stray. Is that true, Robin? I don't see you here. But they so easily will stray all the time. It just kind of made me wonder. I went, maybe that's why we're called sheep, because we so easily stray all the time. You know, when we get our arms around God's love and we know that it's personal and it has our name on it, we can live life with no wants. And I can have no wants because God knows me. And he still loves me. Even though he knows me, he still loves me. And John 10:14, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, I know my sheep. And the fact that he knows me and he still loves me answers some of the most fundamental questions that we have. Does God know me? Yes. Does he know that I exist? Does he even care about all the petty things going on in my life? Is it just the big things he cares about, or does he care about everything? But let me say this, nothing is too petty for God. Nothing is too small. He cares so deeply about every single detail in our lives. And Matthew 10:30, it says that God even knows how many hairs I have on my head. You can insert your own joke there. I've heard lots of them over the years. Psalm 145:17 says, the Lord is loving towards all he has made. All he has made. And that includes everyone. And God knows me. He still loves me. That still is unconditional, is his unconditional love. God is love. And he can do nothing but love. His love for us, it's not based on something that we respond to or not. God is love. It's unconditional. There's no strings that are attached. And the big idea is that God would love us as if there was only one of us to love. He loves us that much. And some would say, well, how can God love everybody all at the same time? Have you ever wondered a little bit about that question? But what we often do is we put our finite thinking and our finite expectations on an infinite God. God can do anything. All things are possible. The Bible says in Romans 11:33, oh, what a wonderful God we have. How great are his riches in wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his methods. But the Bible, it teaches that God has the leisure of heart to feel for each one of us and love us. And when God is loving me right now at this moment, he doesn't stop loving you. He's loving you at the same time. That's the way it works. You know, parents, you know when you pull your phone out and you're videoing your kids, maybe, you know, at a choir, a school event, or something like that, maybe on the sports field, you end up, you zoom right in on your child, right? You're not so concerned about everything else. You're zooming in on your child. You want to just see your own child. And that's what God is like for every one of us. Some of you may think that you can hide from God, but you can't. He sees you. He knows absolutely everything. You may be able to hide in you know, this church or community, wherever, but you can't hide from God. God is always seeking you out, and he's relentlessly seeking you out. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it says he's always thinking about you, and he's watching everything that concerns you. And you might say, so what? What's the big deal with that? The so what is freedom. You don't have to put up masks. God loves you. He knows you. He knows your pain. He knows your past. He knows your sin. The so what is drop your masks. Quit relying on them for love and just receive God's love. Just receive it. I can have no wants because God also protects me. You know, he protects me just like a shepherd protects the sheep. The big idea here is very consistent with Scripture that God is ultimately in control. And if I'm a child of God, I've got nothing to worry about. And some of you might be saying, you know, I'm about to sink. I'm in despair. I'm in deep trouble, deep stress, deep problems, deep finances, whatever it might be. But God wants to give you the power to get out of situations, to help you in situations, to help you to live your life. God wants to protect us. In Psalm 40, verse 11, it says, my only hope is your love, for my problems are too big for me to solve, and they're piled right over my head. And God wants to protect us so that we have no wants. Let me share this illustration with you. A father, he's driving around in his car. His daughter, she's in the passenger seat, and they stop at a light. And at the light, he kind of starts looking around. He looks, you know, to the right, and he looks to the left. And as he looks to the left, there's this little four-year-old driving with his dad. And this four-year-old also is, you know, in the passenger seat. And this little kid, he looks at this dad, and all of a sudden he starts making faces at him. He's making faces, and then all of a sudden he's sticking his tongue out at him, and this dad is going, he's not doing that to me, is he? And, you know, he's kind of looking over his shoulder, and sure enough, this kid's doing that. Next thing you know, he's making all these different hand gestures to him and everything, and you know, that didn't bother him so much, but at the moment, he wanted just to, you know, reach out and unscrew the antenna from his vehicle and, you know, whack this kid to go, you shouldn't be doing that, you know, like making faces at strangers like that. And that's when he looked to see who was driving, and this little, you know, where the little boy was sitting beside, and it was Thor. It was the superhero that is sitting, you know, in the driver's seat, and this guy, he had a tank top on, and he had big muscles and tattoos, and he was nasty looking, he was mean, and this little kid, you know, he looked at this other dad who was this, you know, didn't have a great physique or anything, and he just kept making these faces and inappropriate gestures, and the father's ego, you know, once it was healed, he actually started laughing about it. He thought, why did that kid act like that? Because he knew who was in the driver's seat. He knew that his dad, that big muscular guy, was sitting in the driver's seat. He had confidence in his superhero dad going, I can do anything I want because no one's going to bug us. It reminds me when you put God in the driver's seat of your life, you can live with that same confidence. Not that you can do anything and do any of those inappropriate gestures, but just that God is there. You know that he's going to protect you. You know that he's on your side. You know that he's in front of you. You know that he's on top of you. You know that he's got your back. As Scripture says in Deuteronomy 33, God is our refuge, and underneath you are his everlasting arms. I like to think of scriptures like that. God is with me. You know, when I'm in various situations, he's with me. His everlasting arms are underneath me, and I can count on God's protection. Romans 8, verse 39, that lots of people know this one well, but nothing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he protects us, he loves us, and like a good shepherd, he guides us. You know, this week, I don't know what your week is going to be. God knows. And maybe you're going to have to make some important decisions. But I want to encourage you, as you face making important decisions, remember that God loves you so much that he will guide you. He knows that life is too difficult to be lived alone, and he wants to guide us in decisions and in directions. And Romans 8:14, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." So if you're a Christian, God wants to guide you, and he wants to direct you. And you can count on his leadings, the power of the Holy Spirit, to move you more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. But do you sense sometimes that direction in your life as you pray to God and you ask him to guide and to lead you? Can you look in your life and know that he's guiding you? Do you feel his leadings? Do you hear his leadings? God wants to lead us, and he has good plans for us. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So he's always trying to lead us. And the question that faces us is, are we listening? Are we listening to what he's trying to tell us? How do we respond to God's love? What do you do with this as we, you know, walk out of the church doors this morning, or as I said, if you walk into the community, if you are watching online? Receive God's love. Just receive his love this morning. It's a gift. And I can't imagine what my life would be like if God removed that love from me. Romans 5:8 says, "God has shown us how much he loves us, and while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us." God doesn't say, you know what, you need to clean up your act first and then come to me. He says, just come to me and receive it. And I remember when I was a young adult, that's always how I felt. I always kept thinking, I got to first do this and that before I can come to God. But that wasn't the truth at all. I just needed to come to Christ. You know, if I were to pull $100 out of my wallet right now, And I would say, who would like to receive this? Probably lots of people would jump up in this room and go, yeah, that'd be awesome, you know, to receive $100. But money is a love mask. And that soon will fade away. But God's love won't. It will continue on. Just receive it. If you had to write down every bad thing that you've ever done in your entire life in notebooks, and let's say that God gave you that ability to remember all of those things that you've ever done wrong, every bad thing, every sin you've ever had, and you write it down. And some of you are thinking, as I would too, that would be a lot of notebooks, a lot of things that I would have to write down. But imagine you take all of those notebooks, you take them to God, you put them in his hands, and he puts his hands around your hands, around these notebooks, and he drops the notebooks, and he kicks all of these notebooks out of the way, and he says, forgotten. And he walks into a party. He walks you into a party, a great big celebration. The music is going, streamers and people are hollering, and you might say, well, how do you know that it's going to be like that? Because Jesus tells us three stories. He tells us about the lost coin and a lost sheep and a lost son. And guess what happens in all three of those stories that he tells us in Scripture? The coin, the sheep, and the son are found. And God rejoices. And God doesn't just, you know, rejoice because all of the problems of the world have been solved. He doesn't rejoice because all human pain and suffering are over, God doesn't rejoice because thousands have been converted and are now praising his goodness. He rejoices because that which was lost is now found. It's found. And because one of his creations has been found. That's how important each one of us are to God. And to respond to God's love, just to receive it, that's all we need to do. The Bible says in John 1:12, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. The right to become a child of God. That's what a Christian is. If you've never received God's love, are you waiting for a better deal? Or maybe I should rephrase that. What are you waiting for? You don't have to repeat a mantra. You don't have to do things like to earn your way into a relationship with Jesus or anything like that. Just in your heart, imagine yourself going up to God and saying, God, here I am, just as I am. And I give myself to you. Forgive me of my past and come into my life. Take control of my life. That's what being a Christian is. And if you've already received God's love, here's my challenge to you, and you can rest in this morning. Would you take rest in that God loves you and his love has your name on it? He knows you by name. You can drop the masks. If you have any of the masks that we talked about today, and I'm sure that there's more, you can just drop those masks. And after we receive God's love, the second thing that we ought to do is just keep refilling yourself with God's love on a regular basis, daily. You know, this image works for me. I picture my life really as a bucket. And I have to have my bucket filled. And God's love, it's like a fountain. The more that I refill that bucket, the less that I have to put on the mask. And if you've been a Christian for a while, do you know that when your bucket is empty, and I think a lot of us do, where we go, oh boy, I need a fresh touch. I need a fresh touch from God. I need to, again, experience his love. But have you come to that discernment in your life? And some might say, well, how do you do that? And for me, there's lots of different things to do. We're all wired a little bit differently. But here's a few things that I do. It's through prayer. Just asking God. You know, just take time. Be quiet before God. You can do that anytime. You can do that while you're driving. You can do that, you know, early in the morning or late at night or whenever. But just take time, and things even like, you know, reading the Bible or hearing scripture or, you know, devotions or different things like that, things that are just building you up. Memorizing scripture. And I know I used to memorize more scripture in my earlier years, but those scriptures, they still keep coming back to the forefront of my mind at various times. Listening to teachings and worship songs. And, you know, I've got to be around God's people. And when I'm around God's people, I feel God's love. Or I've got to be doing something bigger than myself. For me, I've done lots of mission opportunities as well that I've gone and I've given of my time, I've given of my money that I've invested in. I've done things like that. Or you're in a ministry fair here right now. Like, get involved in your church. Do the things that you can do and give that love out to people. There's so many great opportunities. And let God just speak to you and do whatever God is asking you to do. And he'll fill your bucket. Because as you start giving that love away, you will start receiving love back. Real, eternal love. Thirdly, just reflect God's love to others, which I already started saying that. Just give it away. People are dying for love. And when you begin to understand God's love for you and you embrace God's love, do you know that what you begin to see more clearly, you begin to see other people's love masks. And you see what they're kind of beginning to act out and everything that, you know, you'll say, boy, that person, they're putting on a love mask right now. They need some love. Give it away. There's something about giving love away that when you give it away, you get it back. And you're going to leave here in a couple minutes. You're going to head out into your community. You have a baton of God's love in your hand right now. And give it to somebody this week. Find somebody that you can give that love to. And you can make up a list of people if you want to do that. However you want to do that. Jesus, the God-man, right before us, he was going to be crucified. He didn't have many hours left. He pulled his closest followers together and he said in John 13, verse 34, I'm giving you a new command to you now. Love each other just as much as I love you. Your strong love for each other will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And when you love one another, that's a display, really, of God's love. So would you pass that baton on to somebody this week? And I challenge you, you know, be thinking every day this week, who am I passing it to? You know, after church, you can go home or this week sometime, grab your kids and look them in the eyes and just say it because it's the right thing to do too. Tell them, I love you, or call your parents out of the blue and say, I just want to tell you, I love you. Don't wait for Mother's Day or Father's Day or things like that. Tell them you just love them. And when you give that love away, you get a little more of God's, a glimpse of God's love for you when you do that. There's a God in heaven who loves you, and his name has your name on it. And whether you like it or not, whether you deserve it or not, he is absolutely crazy about you. And these love masks, they keep us from living, will fade away, but the Bible tells us that God's love will last forever and ever and ever. And I'd like to give you that opportunity, if you've never invited Christ into your life, that all you need to do is just admit your need for forgiveness, be willing to turn from your sins, believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, he rose again from the grave, and invite him to come in and take control of your life. Would you just bow your head in prayer with me this morning? And if that would be you, just pray this prayer of commitment with me, that I know that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I want to turn from my sins. I believe you died for my sins. I now invite you to come into my life. I want to trust you as Savior and follow you as Lord. In Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray for this congregation right now. Those that are here, those that are watching online. God, may you just come and reveal yourself afresh to them. Thank you for your amazing love for us, that you love us so much. Help us to take those love masks off. Help us, God, that we would just recognize again the great love that you have for us. Help us to pass it on to somebody this week. Help us to be involved where you want us to be involved in this ministry fair right now that is going on. God, just lead and direct every single person. And I thank you again for this church and its outreach into this community and into this world. God, may your blessing be upon Pastor Gill and his staff and every single person here. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless.